Let's turn together in our Bibles once again this morning to Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 1. We continue our study for our progress and joy in the gospel. And we are making our way at this time through Paul's opening prayer in Philippians 1 in the Pew Bibles, page 1348. I'm just going to read the verses 1 through 11 to have something of the context. Let's give our attention to the Holy Word of God. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops or overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. This is the word of God. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open here to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll just look specifically now at verses 6 and 7, where Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you ever wonder to yourself, am I going to make it? You ever find yourself concerned about the future and your Christian walk? You ever wonder, can I actually be certain that I'm going to be with God, Jesus, for all eternity? Or do you find yourself troubled at times? Particularly as we live in troubling days, particularly as we find ourselves as Christians facing opposition. We live in the midst of a world that, as we say, is no friend to grace. A world that looks upon us as though we don't belong. A world that may tempt us. A world that may tantalize us with offers of joy, so-called joy. We know there is such a thing as the pleasures of sin that seem appealing for a season, but in the end are not. And we wonder, do you not wonder sometimes, am I going to be able to stand secure? Am I going to make it to the end? Now we have these words of the Apostle Paul. He directs them to the church at Philippi. We take them up this morning. And he says, as we've seen, I am confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm confident. I know. The question for us is, can we say that for ourselves? And my encouragement to you and to me is that by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we can. And I want every one of us here to be encouraged in that, to be reminded of that, to be built up in that confidence, or to have that confidence if you've never had it before. Because that's what Paul is talking about. And that is the good news of the gospel. That's what our God is like. That's what He does. And of that we can be sure. We may be thinking to ourselves, that sounds a little too strong, a little too bold, a little too confident. But this is the Word of God. This is the way of our God in the gospel of His Son, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. So I want to preach to you this morning the good work that God has begun and how we may take great comfort in it, how we may be confident with Paul about it. The good work God has begun. We're talking about the work of salvation. We're talking about the good work in terms of all of God's glorious purposes in the earth, where God will get all the glory, but we will enjoy the fullness of God's blessing because we have been redeemed in Jesus Christ, the good work God has begun. Three things we're going to look at together here this morning are these: our communion in the gospel. That's just a brief review of some of the things we touched on last Lord's Day when we began looking at Paul's prayer. You saw how his laying before the Philippians the fact that he prays for them began at verse 3. And we just looked at the fact that he prayed in verses 3 through 5 last time. And we're going to pick up on the fact that he is now, in verse 6, sort of giving some grounds for the fact that he prays in such a way and the blessing of our communion in the gospel. Why is he so thrilled? Why is he so joyful? Why is he so thankful? It's because of God. It's because of who God is and what He's like, what He's done in the gospel of His Son. Now we're going to spend the most of our time this morning in our second point looking at our confidence in the gospel. We may put our name there, our confidence. It's not just Paul who may have this confidence. We can too. And then we're going to flesh it out in the third point, speaking about our confirmation of the gospel. What does that look like in our lives? How does that come to expression, and how do our lives, therefore, confirm the good news of the gospel? So we've seen already, in terms of the first point, our communion in the gospel, Paul gets on his knees, and the moment he is thinking of the Philippian church, he is thankful. He can be nothing but thankful as he thinks about the wondrous work of God in their lives. And he'd spoken of the fact that I with every remembrance of you, every time I remember you in my whole remembrance of you, gratitude is what flows forth from me. It's from the first day until now. I think about how it was when we arrived there. being obedient to the heavenly vision, as Acts 16, verse 9 says, that we couldn't go to Asia Minor at that time. We had to go across the Aegean Sea to Europe. We had to go to Philippi, a place we'd never heard of, you could say, or never been to before. And you remember when we met Lydia and her family and a small group of what you might call proselytes or God-fearers or Jewish converts worshiping, gathering together by the river. And Paul had opened the scriptures to them. Obviously, he preached Jesus to them as the fulfillment of the whole Old Testament Bible they were holding on to. And you remember Acts 16, verse 14, where it's recorded for us, "And the Lord opened her heart to receive the things that were spoken by Paul." You understand what is going on there. Paul is still thrilled about it. He's still thankful to God about it. It still gives him much joy. Paul didn't have the sense, "Hey, wasn't I a great preacher? Wasn't that quite a sermon that I preached there by the riverside?" That wasn't the point. No, the Lord opened her heart. It was the Lord's work. It's what God had done, and they were thrilled. And you could think of the slave girl who was converted, or you could think of the jailer, perhaps, who was the one who had administered the thrashings to Paul and Silas, who later would come to them after they had been singing at midnight in the context of an earthquake, giving praises to God, rejoicing in prison. And he came to them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul thinks of these things, and it is amazing. It is the work of God's amazing grace. It's a miracle. And they preach the gospel, you remember? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," Acts 16, verse 31. "You will be saved, you and your household." And that very hour they went and they spoke the good news to that man and to his household. And we read in Acts 16, verse 34, that because he believed, his whole household was baptized. The faithfulness of God has bearing for generations to come. And Acts 16, verse 33 records for us as well that he then got down and he ministered to them and he washed their wounds, perhaps the very wounds that he inflicted. And now we take up some 10 to 12 years later this letter to the Philippians, and we see here that it's addressed to the bishops and the deacons, or the overseers, the elders and the deacons. Who knows but that this Philippian jailer is perhaps one of those elders at this very moment. Doesn't the thought even give you goosebumps in terms of the wonder-working power of the grace of God? What Paul is most thankful for, he says here in verse 5, just again summarizing some of the things we've seen, it's for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We have fellowship. We have communion. We have a part. We have a share. In the good news of the gospel, we have that fellowship with each other. We have a part, a responsibility to play. But we have fellowship with God. And that is a miracle of God's grace. Do not ever, ever underestimate the wonder of God's grace. Paul thinks about these things with regard to the Philippian church, and he is overflowing with thankfulness and with joy. And as we will continue to see, this whole epistle overflows with joy. It abounds in joy. This is for your progress and joy in the gospel. Paul is thrilled. We have fellowship in the gospel. But now at verse 6, he's going to sort of get into that or get under that and show us what undergirds that blessing that we have fellowship in the gospel. And what he's saying, it's not just something that we're rejoicing in right now. It's something that we know will last forever. And we know that God is going to complete His work. We are confident of this very thing. So our second point this morning, they're praising God for our confidence in the gospel. So when Paul says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus, understand that he is not saying, I'm confident in this church in Philippi because I know you're pretty good people. Because I know you work really hard. Because I know you're pretty impressive. The church at Philippi had problems, had issues, had sinners. Every one of them were sinners like you and me. That wasn't the point, was it? Confidence that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here is confidence because of him. It's because of God. It's confidence that roots in who God is and what God has done. Thanks be to God if it were to depend upon them or to depend upon us, we would have no grounds for any confidence at all. None. We know ourselves. We know our failings, we know our weakness, we know our frailty, we know our unworthiness. Paul is confident because it begins with God. He has begun the good work in you. He was the one who opened Lydia's heart. Lydia didn't do that for herself. Lydia, in that sense, wasn't taking the first steps toward God. God came and he redeemed her. And it's the same way with regard to every one of us. We are confident because the beginning of our salvation is with God. And Paul is thinking historically on the ground in terms of how that began 12 years earlier. But we could say, knowing from the Bible, that we can be even more confident because it begins way before that. From before the foundation of the world, God had set his heart upon sinners like you and me. Romans 8, verse 30. Those whom he has foreknown, he has also predestined. Those whom he has predestined, he's also called. Those whom he's called, he's also justified. And those whom he's justified, he has also glorified. He begins a good work and he brings it to completion. He will never, ever let us go. God has begun a good work. Our confidence roots in him. Now, let's just take apart some of the words that Paul speaks about when he speaks about this confidence. He has begun a good work in you. A good work. We who are involved in day-to-day employment, go about our jobs or run our companies, we want to be known as those who do good work. We do good work. Now, we're not perfect, but we want to be known as those who do good work. And I want to say here out of this passage, when God has saved his people, he has done a good work. His work is good. His work never needs to be questioned. And his work will never be seen to be faulty or shoddy or half done. He's begun a good work in you. He will complete it. He will complete it. Now again, I think to understand the glory and the beauty of the finished work of God, and the finishing touches he is sure to put on our lives in fellowship with him and in sanctification before him, it's helpful to understand it against the backdrop or against the foil of our own projects. I don't know how many of you have started projects that you never finished. You don't think you have. Well, I know that I have. I know that I have started far too many projects that I have never finished. And if you are wondering, if you are a married man, perhaps just ask your wife if there are ever projects you said you were going to start but you've never finished. I don't know how many times I've said, I'm going to be a better pastor. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better husband. And I'm going to follow this method. I'm going to do this thing. And that didn't get finished. Those things were left undone. I think we all get that. I think we all understand that. And the point is, that can never be said, thanks be to God, about the work that God has begun in us. He will complete it. He will. So as we've seen already, those whom he has called, he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's also justified. If you come to Christ, you have peace with God. But the love of God that abides in us, or that shines forth in our hearts by the love of the Holy Spirit, is such that we cannot but desire to grow closer to God and in fellowship with him, and desire to honor him more, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will complete his work. No, he's not done yet. We know that. We know that painfully well. Paul will speak of that sort of thing later on in this epistle, when he acknowledges in Philippians 3, verses 12 and 13, it's not that I've already attained, it's not that I've already apprehended, I haven't arrived in the sense of arriving at perfection or the glory that awaits me in the upward call in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a Christian, I know Jesus, I have confidence for eternal life, but I still struggle. I still sin. But God, though he's not done with me yet, will complete his work. He will. He will. That language is not vague. He will complete it. Be encouraged. Be encouraged in the midst of your struggles. Be encouraged in the midst of your sense of weakness. Be encouraged in the face of your failings over the course of last week or the last month or the last year. He will complete his work. Thanks be to God, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, when we read of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of the day when he will appear in glory on the clouds, and every eye will see him. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, Isaiah 40, verse 5, and all flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God will see to it that his Son gets the glory. That's what Paul is talking about in Philippians 2. In the light of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says at verse 9, 2 verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Glory, we see. And we see here that this is what will be. These words, as they come out of the prophecy of Isaiah as well, in terms of every knee bowing and every tongue confessing, they're like a vow spoken by God the Father himself. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. My Son will get glory. And every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. This is something God the Father has planned from all eternity. This is something the Father has poured his heart into in loving the world of sinful humanity so much that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him. He delivered him up to the cross. This is love 1 John 4, verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is in too deep, you would say. God has given too much to ever be robbed of his glory or to ever have Jesus robbed of his glory. God would no sooner, therefore, ever forfeit the good work he has begun in us than he would to rob his own Son of the glory that's due to his name. And that's why you can be sure, because it rests in him. And he will be faithful to complete it until the day, that glorious day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're living in the joy of fellowship with God in Jesus Christ, you may know that you will be among those people who acknowledge Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has the name above all names, not as those who do it with bitterness and resentment through grinding teeth, but with great joy and gladness at the wonder and the awe of what he has accomplished for you. And knowing that everything is headed toward that glorious day enables us to live with great confidence today in the midst of our failings, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of the opposition that we face, the difficulties we endure. We know that this God has begun a good work and he's still at work. God is working all these things together for the good of those who love him. Romans 8, verse 28. And so we may rest secure. I know, Paul says. I'm confident. But what if you're not? What if you wonder? What if you had no idea, hey, I can know these things. I can be confident of this. I can have that certainty, that assurance for all eternity. Or what if you're thinking in terms of your own life, well, you know, I should know better, or I have known better, but I messed up. I have fallen hard. I'm living at a great distance from God. Could there possibly be any hope for me? With the confidence of the Apostle Paul in the gospel, let me say to you what he said to the Philippian jailer, Acts 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's be reminded of Paul's confidence as he expressed it in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. Everybody should receive this. Accept this. Believe this. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. I'm the worst. I'm the foremost. But Jesus saved me. You put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make a new beginning by God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be able to say, it was God. It was God who began this good work in me, and God will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will. Now, I want us to appreciate finally this morning that this glorious confidence that is ours because of the gospel, because it's the work of God and the work of God's grace, is not just, it's not just information to receive as interesting. You can't just say, hey, that's a pretty neat thing, but not be in awe about the blessing and privilege of belonging to God and being in fellowship with God. You can't just spout the line of Philippians 1 verse 6, God began a good work in me, he's going to complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have no heart for God, no thought for the glory of God, no desire to see God honored. What happens is that because God is going on with his work, you're going to see it. It's going to show. You're going to enjoy it. Now, it may come through challenge and difficulty, and it may come through times of struggle, times of wondering about yourself, so that your focus is not on yourself, your focus is on He who has begun the good work. I want to speak finally then this morning about our confirmation of the gospel. Our confirmation of this glorious good news that God has begun a good work and will complete it. And how do you see that? How is that confirmed? How is that shown? See what Paul says in verse 7. It's right for me to think this of you. I'm thankful, I'm joyful before God. It's right for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. A number of things we should see and appreciate here. Paul is rejoicing here in the blessing. We share the same hope. We have the same fellowship with each other and with God. It's because of the gospel. And that makes Paul always mindful of them. He's always thinking about them, and then he's praying for them and giving thanks for them with joy. But reciprocally, you could say, that means what Paul is appreciating here is that that church in Philippi, they know Paul is in jail, they know that he's suffering for the sake of the gospel, and they feel that with him. And so as much as he prays for them, they are praying for him. They share together in the defense of the gospel. And as much as Paul still uses every opportunity to speak of the hope that he has in Jesus Christ, even though he's in chains, he says, we share in that together as well. You also want to defend and proclaim the gospel and speak it at every opportunity. And your life is for the confirmation of the gospel. And what does it mean that our lives confirm the gospel? What does that look like? Now we might say, well, it looks like a commitment to obey God. And it looks like a commitment to the truth of the Word of God. And to be sure, it looks like that. It's not less than that. But it's a confirmation of the gospel. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not, Paul is not, speaking against obedience. Nor are we speaking against a commitment to the truth. But if our sense that we are confirming the gospel by going around and saying, I'm obedient, I love the truth, and let me tell you how right I am and how wrong you are. If that's our understanding of the confirmation of the gospel, I haven't heard the gospel and sadly perhaps haven't seen the gospel. Sinclair Ferguson might call that sanctification by vinegar. If we think that we show the world something by showing them, hey, look at me, I'm obedient, or look at me, how equipped I am with the truth and you're not, that gives off the aura of somebody who drinks pickle juice for fun. Where's the gospel? Where's the good news of the gospel? We confirm the gospel with a sense, I am who I am, only by the grace of God. We confirm the gospel not with a sense of pride and arrogance in terms of what we've become, but with a sense of awe at the wonder that God has had mercy on me. And that enables us to be patient with the failings of others and persistent in seeking to have them know this same hope and this same grace. We cannot be proud. What do we have that we have not received? We have to be those who are ever humble and mindful of the wonder that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. Let us never boast. We confirm the gospel with being patient, with being gracious, with being forgiving, with being eager to speak of the fact that it's not me. It's never been me. It's He who has begun a good work in me. It's Jesus, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. Praise be to God. You can know. You can know that God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it because of who He is, because of what He's done in Jesus Christ. Jesus will get the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise You for Your complete work of salvation. We thank You, Father, that You have begun that glorious work in us. And since You've begun it, You will complete it. We acknowledge, Lord, we would never have taken two steps, not even one, toward You, were it not for the wonder of Your grace. And we thank You that we may be encouraged as well when we wonder, when we struggle, when we feel overwhelmed with our own guilt or failings, that there is hope in the gospel, there is forgiveness in Jesus, there is certainty about the future as we rest in Him. We pray that You will enable us to be glad and give You the glory for the work You've begun. We pray that You would continue that glorious work as we desire, Lord, to confirm the gospel. We want to speak about it. We want that to be what we're known for, as those who are amazed about the love of Jesus and want to tell others about the love of Jesus, the good news that there is forgiveness. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And thank You, Father, for the confidence that nothing will stop You from finishing Your work. Nothing will take away from Your commitment to us. You will see to it that Jesus gets all the glory. And we praise Your name. For Jesus' sake, amen.